From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning, in the first part of the hour, we'll talk about sharks, great white ones. One was seen over the weekend north of San Francisco offshore, and water access has been temporarily closed off. How much do we need to fear the great white? Then at 9:30, we'll find out all about the recommendation from the San Francisco Animal Control and Welfare Commission and why it has local pet store owners angry. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. An 8 to 10-foot great white shark was spotted on Sunday by a U.S. Coast Guard helicopter off a Northern California beach about 250 yards offshore. As a result, water access to Stinson Beach was blocked and deep water access will continue to be closed in this hot weather until Thursday. The offshore area encompassing Stinson Beach, thanks to our friend John McCosker of the California Academy of Sciences in San Francisco, is called the Red Triangle. And that's because of the large number of white sharks seeking prey, starting from Año Nuevo on the north to the Farallon Islands and south to Monterey Bay. There have been more white shark attacks in the Red Triangle area than anywhere in the United States. And in this opening forum segment, we want to focus on the heightened concern over great white sharks. Joining us in studio is Douglas Long, Chief Curator of Natural Sciences, Oakland Museum of California, Research Associate at the California Academy of Sciences. Glad to have you here. Welcome.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning. Well, we're going to maybe bust some myths about great white sharks and all that, but let's begin by talking about them because they primarily are predatory toward marine mammals and the fact of, I mean, sea lions, elephant seals, whale carcasses, things of this sort. And the fact of the matter is that they don't go after humans, contrary to all this talk about unprovoked attacks and that kind of language. They generally mistake humans for other prey.
That seems to be the prevailing belief. One of the reasons why the shark concentration in the Red Triangle is so high is because that is the highest density of their food. There are at least six different species of pinnipeds, so seals and sea lions, which are their primary food. And some of the secondary species they feed on are porpoises and dolphins and carcasses of whales that frequently float through.
It's a movable feast for them, isn't it?
It is. The food is quite abundant, and it's a very high-quality food. It's a very fat-rich food, and that's something that white sharks need because they have a very interesting circulatory system that takes frictional energy that's created by the swimming muscles and heats their body up. And by having a higher than having a body temperature that's higher than the ambient water temperature, they can remain active and active enough to be able to pursue these marine mammals. So it's kind of a feedback loop that the quality of the food helps to get their metabolism up to the level that would require them to be able to hunt and take down these large marine mammals. So the marine mammals are their favorite food as adults. As juveniles, sort of under 7 feet long, they tend to feed on fish and other sharks. And the belief is that attacks on humans, if you look at them, are relatively rare to begin with. There's on average maybe one attack every 18 months. And if you average the attacks out over the last 100 years since they've first been recorded, there's really only one fatality every 10 years. What's more interesting is that when you look at the injuries on people, they tend to be relatively superficial. There's been no case of anybody actually being consumed and eaten by a white shark. And as far as I know, there aren't any cases in California of anybody having been bitten a second time. So the general perception is that the white sharks are either mistaking us as prey and then are releasing us, or that they might even be testing us as potential food and then releasing us when they somehow are able to assess that we are not of the quality that they need.
We've got this image in our head, though, thanks to Peter Benchley mm-hmm. and Steven Spielberg, you know, of these massive jaws coming at us. I mean, we're talking about a pretty big creature here. Some of them are the size of, I was reading, a Volkswagen van with fins. I mm-hmm. mean, that's sort of the picture you have to get in your head here. And there are how many of them roughly in this Red Triangle? We're talking maybe 200 or so?
The latest estimates have sort of run at about 200. I've heard some estimates might be as many as 250. But that is really the entire population off the western coast of North America. So the population is relatively low, which is what you would expect for what we call an apex predator, something that's really at the top of the food chain.
But when one is seen, as one was on Sunday, mm-hmm. the assumption is there are probably a lot of them that haven't been seen that are out there.
Yeah. The beach closure at Stinson is – I don't want to say it's a little bit premature or knee-jerk, but white sharks are there this time from about now till maybe the end of November every single year. So the white sharks are there. They just may not be seen. And so rather than closing a beach when one is seen – it might be more prudent to do what you see in national parks or state parks where there's a mountain lion warning, a coyote warning, or a rattlesnake warning where these animals are there at any time, but you don't know where they are going to be at any specific moment. So the white sharks are off our coast right now. They're off, you know, from Mendocino, Monterey, San Luis Obispo. They're here.
And they're
feeding.
They're also, I'm looking at a map from an ichthyology journal. There are more of them in the western United States, apparently, than there are anywhere in the world.
The population estimates for South Africa and southern Australia are higher. But when you look at attack statistics, there are a couple of variables. So, for example,
unconfirmed, unprovoked attacks by white sharks.
By white sharks, unprovoked attacks. Have been recorded higher off California than anywhere else in North America. However, there are more attacks in places like Florida, but they involve different species of sharks. So in California, realistically, of, say, the several dozen species of sharks that we have in Central California, the white sharks are the only sharks that are responsible for attacks on humans.
And their food base is increasing, isn't it?
The food base is increasing. The population of marine mammal species in California, especially the pinnipeds, are increasing. The population of white sharks is probably also increasing because of laws that tried to push gill nets, which were these large entangling nets that were originally banned or restricted to help preserve marine mammal populations, also prevented entanglements and deaths by adult and juvenile white sharks. So realistically, the white shark population is probably slowly increasing, but also their food base is increasing. So I don't think there is some concern that somehow the population of white sharks is going to increase and they're going to outconsume their food resource and then prey on humans. I think the balance of predator and prey is pretty normal and pretty stable and nothing at this point to worry about.
Douglas Long is here with us in studio. Well, are you worried about great white sharks despite what you just heard? And let's hear from you. In fact, let me open the phone lines. This is a half-hour segment, so if you have some concerns that you want to express, or for that matter, if you have questions about the great white shark and how much we ought to be afraid, or really, are you afraid? And to what extent are you afraid? Please register your thoughts with us and join the conversation. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786. Again, we welcome your phone calls, and you can join us now. In fact, now is the time to join us. 866-733-6786, or email us, forum@kqed.org, or, of course, you can join us by going on our website and registering question or comment there, kqed.org/forum, and clicking on this segment. It's always important to remember how ecologically important sharks are, too. I mean, I always feel like I'm sermonizing whenever we talk about, you know, shark fin controversy or anything along those lines, but they're vital.
Oh, absolutely. For maintaining especially healthy fish populations, for maintaining the health even of marine mammal populations, sharks are an essential predator. And when the white shark is protected in California, by the way, and when there was an assembly bill posed to protect the white shark, what was very interesting is that there were a number of groups that were very much in support of protecting the white sharks, and there were several commercial fisheries groups that were very much in support of it because they see sea lions, for example, as being one of their main competitors for marine fish, and white sharks are the species that really controls the population of California sea lions. But we also had, say, for example, the Surf Rider Foundation that was very much in support of the bill to protect white sharks, which is interesting because surfers are one of the groups that are frequently bitten. At the same time, they tend to have more of a philosophy of nature in ways in which they really respect the environment they're surfing in and respect the sharks as part of that environment. And I've spoken to a number of surfers that have seen white sharks while they're surfing, and they say, no, they're never going to report that they've seen them because they don't want to have that hysteria be fired and fanned even more.
Well, you watch some of these shows, Animal Planet and these kinds of things, you see people swimming with sharks in deep ocean and great white sharks and all that. I don't know what that's all about, but it's reassuring to hear you talk about how often it's a mistake. The assumption is that it's a mistake, that they're not necessarily like I said, in the film Jaws, after humans and coming up on the beach when humans are there and all that. So what about the idea of closing down Stinson Beach in terms of water access? I mean, is this over the top? Or?
Well, what's interesting is that there was a beach closure on a beach on the East Coast a few weeks ago. There's a lot of hysteria, a lot of debate over the public safety versus, you know, scaring people away that are, you know, potential economic base. And it turned out that these sharks were actually basking sharks, which are giant, harmless, plankton-eating species. And, of course, that whole idea of closing the beach was one of the major sort of crux of the story in Jaws. The beach closure is sort of a tricky issue because if sharks are seen and you don't close the beach and somebody gets bitten, there's going to be you know, some sort of legal action, I'm sure, that would ensue. But realistically, those sharks are there, and they are there every single year. And if you don't see them, they are still there. So instead of a closure, again, there might be some general warning or posting that this is part of a shark's feeding area.
Talking again with Douglas Long, who's here with us in studio, Chief Curator of Natural Sciences for the Oakland Museum of California and a Research Associate at the California Academy of Sciences. And we're going to go right to your phone calls, and let's do that now. Tim, join us. You're on the air.
Yeah. Hey there, Michael. Yeah, years ago I was out at Stinson and waiting on a good wave, and I was a little naive about the area, and I thought one of the fellow surfers had wiped out, and we had an upside-down abandoned surfboard, and I caught a wave or two. I went back to the area to see if the board was still there. It wasn't there. It definitely had sunken or something. Surfboards generally don't sink. So I was swimming right next to something with a big fin on its back.
That's a pretty, how shall I describe it, awe-inspiring moment, isn't it? And terrifying.
Well, it took me 24 hours to realize what it was. Somebody goes, it's a shark. It was a shark. And I go, oh, my God. I was swimming right next to a shark.
Yeah, well, you can tell that story to your grandchildren, and thank you for that call. Good to hear from you. Let's hear from some more of you. Donnan joining us from San Francisco. Good morning. Donnan, are you
Donna there? Or Dorian?
Oh, Dorian, I'm sorry.
Okay, hi. Yeah, my name is Dorian. I agree with your speaker. The sharks are always there. I'm a sailor. Anybody who sailed to the Farallone, sailed up to Bodega Bay, sailed down to Half Moon Bay, and just simply looked overboard knows that there are great white sharks there all the time. So I think closing the beach is kind of crazy because they just saw a fin broach. If they were sailors, they looked down, they'd see those fins are underwater more often than not.
Hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think Douglas Long, you're in agreement, huh?
Yes. And really, the other factor that you got to think about is that if sharks wanted to eat us, they would be eating us now. We are slow moving. We're sort of fat, succulent, you know, animals that are, you know, really, you know, inagile in the water. And if the sharks are here, they would want to eat us. If you look at any Labor Day weekend, there are going to be hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people in the water along the coast of California, and there are going to be no shark attacks. I mean, if they wanted to eat us, they would be eating us, and it's just not happening.
Let me thank the caller. Marin Independent Journal reported that there have been more recorded shark attacks off the Marin Coast, 12, than anywhere else in the world. That's not accurate.
That's not accurate. In this area along the Central California coast, within this region that's termed the Red Triangle, there have been the largest concentration of great white shark attacks in North America, but we are by no means the highest concentration of shark attacks anywhere in the world. Again, along the coast of California, white shark attacks average about one every 18 months, so about every year and a half there's attack, and the great majority of those are non-fatal.
Here's a practical question from one of our listeners. Says, what do you do if you're bitten by a shark? Do you swim? Do you play dead? What's the best advice you have?
Get out of the water. Usually you have a surf buddy or a dive buddy that will help you out. Frequently, the wetsuit is actually a good way to help compress an injury and prevent bleeding. But, you know, get on the beach and get medical attention as soon as possible.
And we'll bring on another caller. Anne, that's you from Inverness. Good morning.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Those of us sitting on the beach yesterday at Tamales Bay thought, do we expect sharks in Tamales Bay? Is that ever happen?
Oh, absolutely. White sharks have been recorded in Tamales Bay. And one of the reasons why they are there is that they are feeding on the harbor seals that use Tamales Bay as a habitat, a feeding and resting habitat.
Okay, well, thank you very much, and this is a great show.
Thank you for the call. Well, she'll sit on the beach with a different perspective now, perhaps, thanks to you, Douglas. We'll go to more calls. We'll welcome Sal. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, so I wanted to share kind of my experience. I grew up in Cape Town, South Africa, which has, I believe, one of the largest concentrations of great white sharks in the world.
Yes, sir.
And along with a number of other sharks. And it's quite common on almost a daily basis to spot sharks swimming along the coast. And in the last few years, we've had two major shark attacks in Cape Town, both of them resulting in deaths of the individuals. But the way that we manage it is that we set up what are called shark watches that kind of stand on the mountain and warn people when there are sharks in the ocean. And they have a flag system that allows people to make the choice of whether they are willing to take the risk of swimming or not. For me, this whole debate about the danger of sharks and not being allowed in the ocean is kind of our inacceptance of the fact that we live in nature. And when you enter into the ocean, it's a wild place. It's kind of like going up into Yosemite and being surprised when you come across a bear. It's kind of that same philosophy, and I think that the hysteria around it is more of a concern, but that there are examples of people in other parts of the world learning to live with these creatures. And I've swum in that ocean in Cape Town for decades and have seen sharks, but in my entire life, there have been two attacks that resulted in deaths. I just kind of wanted to share how, you know, other parts of the world are dealing with sharks in a way that doesn't result in them being killed or people being denied access to the ocean.
Yeah, appreciate that perspective, Sal. Thank you for the call. There's a new report out about the oceans being terribly endangered. Of course, you know, we've done a number of programs on this, but the new report suggests that... it's almost apocalyptic about the future of the oceans. Did you see this?
Yes, I know some of the issues about ocean acidification, ocean pollution, both particulate matter like plastics and different types of chemicals, and then also cutting the food chain off at both the top and the bottom with overfishing of the big fish species, but then over-harvesting a lot of the krill and the schooling fish that are the basis for the other fish. And
I mention this also because of the vital necessity of having sharks to keep the ocean.
Yes. Sharks... are, again, very important because they actually occupy many different levels in the food chain. There is an interesting study that's happening right now in Chesapeake Bay where overfishing of the sharks has now caused an explosion in the population of skates and rays, which are feeding on oysters and scallops. So when sharks were present, scallops and oysters were in abundance because the predator that fed on them was being controlled by the sharks. And so here's an excellent example of how the food chain can be very easily disrupted by taking out the top-level predator.
Getting back, though, to the attacks, as they're called, I mean, inferring from what you – or extrapolating from what you said earlier, a shark will mistake a human being, attack it, taste it, not necessarily like the taste or think this is not what I'm after, this is not the cuisine I had in mind – and the wound will lead to a death on the part of the human being. So it's not as if the shark is there to feast on a human being, period, really, the great white.
Yeah, correct. The fatalities that have happened have usually been a situation where an initial bite, even if it's a relatively shallow bite, might sever a major artery or puncture a major organ and cause death that way. I don't want to diminish the seriousness to the families of a potential victim, but the fatality rate for white shark attacks in California is a lot less. Now, as you're previous caller mentioned, in other areas like South Africa and Australia, the ratio of fatalities per attacks is much higher in those areas. We tend to have sharks and for whatever reason behaviorally are much less fatal in their attacks on humans in our area.
Or maybe we just have better emergency resources. But
that's also a part of it too.
Well, they're all getting cut back now. Yeah. But
yeah, we have the Coast Guard frequently will helicopter a shark attack victim to the nearest hospital. And there's a great body of knowledge on how to deal with shark attack injuries in California.
Let me bring more of our callers on, and we welcome Drake from Half Moon Bay. Good morning.
Good morning. I love your program.
Thank you.
Will you ask your guests, or I'll ask your guests, can you explain a little bit about the mechanism within the jaws of the shark? Because I understand, Michael, unrelated to your comment about not liking the taste, that it's more of a calculation around whether the calories will be enough to warrant the exertion of the energy. And there's something highly refined in the sharks that says when it hits the surfboard or it hits the surfer with the wetsuit, that it does this quick sort of calculation and says it's not worth the amount of energy for it to exert to get. so it disengages looking for something that's higher, like a, you know, a fatty seal or something.
That is the
Getting that right?
Yes, you're absolutely getting it right, and that is the hypothesis, and that hypothesis is very hard to test because white sharks are virtually impossible to keep in the laboratory situation to test that. Now, in their mouth, they do have a number of different very important sensory organs. They have a very good sense of smell. They have an electroreceptive organ that will, you know, give them information about their prey, but also they have chemoreceptors, what we would call taste buds, more or less, in their mouth and on their tongue. But also the teeth are innervated, meaning that they have these nerves, and the teeth will probably also be used as a gauge of the softness of the tissue. So we don't know exactly how they are able to calculate or judge the quality of the food that they're biting into at the moment of attack. But what we have seen is that they will abort an attack on a human, oftentimes sort of at the last minute or after a very cursory or initial bite. With seals and sea lions, I've seen an initial bite is oftentimes very fatal and will encompass a very deep wound in the animal that will oftentimes incapacitate it or kill it right away. So they do have a predatory style that is very different when humans are involved than when pinnipeds are involved.
Let me thank the caller. Actually, speaking of pinnipeds, here's a listener who says, I'm a surfer, North Coast ab diver. Never seen the man in the gray suit, but we always are aware of our surroundings and the behavior of the pinnipeds. We like to stay in the kelp when diving, feel safer there. I always like the term unprovoked attack. What other kind is there from a great white? And here is a listener named Camille who says, I saw a very interesting documentary about two places in Brazil, one of which had shark attacks on humans, the other of which hadn't. Turned out that the difference was that in the place where there was a live vital reef with plenty of fish, no attacks had occurred. In the place where the attacks had occurred, the reef was dead and there were no other prey for the shark.
That is one assumption. There's been an analysis of white shark attacks in the Mediterranean that have suggested that attacks on humans in the last couple decades may have been a response by the sharks shifting away from what would be their normal prey of monk seals and dolphins that have become virtually eliminated in many parts of the Mediterranean. But I don't see we have that situation developing here in California.
Here's Joe who says, my family and I frequently swim off our boat at Angel Island. We've heard of tagged white sharks reported having gone past the Golden Gate Bridge in past years. We've also heard of great white shark sightings off the east shore of Tiburon. How afraid must we be? Is every week Shark Week?
Well, there are sharks in the bay all the time. There are probably maybe 15 different species of sharks in the bay. White sharks tend not to spend much time here. The tracking studies have shown that they will just come in really around the mouth of the bay and then back out. And that could be due to the fact that they tend not to like a lot of noise like boat traffic, but also they're very sensitive to changes in salt water. So they're not really tolerant of the brackish water that we have in the bay most of the time.
Any other advice before we wrap this up about people and sharks and what they ought to be fearful of or ought to be at least advised to?
I'll be fearful of the ocean. There are more people killed by sneaker waves than by sharks. And, you know, not to be ghoul about it, but you have a higher chance of being killed on your way to the beach in a car accident than from a shark attack.
All right. Or, for that matter, being in an airplane. People have to remember when they're fearful of flying. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank
Douglas
you.
Long, again, is Chief Curator of Natural Sciences at the Oakland Museum of California, also Research Associate at the California Academy of Sciences. We're going to stay aquatic. We're going to shift gears here, but we're going to talk about this proposal that has gone forward to, well, it's actually a recommendation of the Board of Supervisors about banning the sale of, among other things, goldfish, tropical fish, and guppies when we return on Forum. I'm Michael Krasny.